Father, as we look into your word together, please speak to us this evening. Speak to us through your Holy Spirit so that we go away tonight knowing more about you and your call on our lives. Amen. I'm sure you know the game show Call My Bluff, so I thought we'd have a little go at that. I know when I do a Sunday morning service, I'm always expected to do some sort of quiz or activity, so I thought I'd keep the trend going. So here we go. Call My Bluff is where you get a word, and it's defined in three ways, and you've got to work out which is the correct definition. So is a Nynon a mythological creature, a French fabric, or a long corridor in a hall or castle? What would you vote if you think it's a mythological creature? Oh, got a couple there. What about the French fabric? Two or three there, and the long corridor. Well, the correct answer there was the French fabric. So well done to a couple of guys down there who got that one. What about this one? A roustabout. Is that a roundabout on a canal where the narrow boats can turn around? Is it that thing that you turn your kebab meat on to cook it properly? Or is a roustabout an unskilled worker or labourer? Who thinks it might be the roundabout? Any canal people here? Got a couple there. What about the kebab turning device? Well, quite a few there. And the unskilled worker. That gets the majority, and that one is actually right. Well done. And finally, a croton. Is that a special French bread like a croissant? Is it a type of shrub, or is it those fried chunks of bread that go in your soup? What do you think? Who thinks it's the croissant style French bread? No one. The type of shrub? Most people. And the chunks of bread in your soup? A couple have gone for that. It is actually the shrub. I think you knew that one. Thank you very much for playing that. There was a point to that, which we'll come to in a minute, because in the reading that we just heard, we had the list of names that became the cities of refuge. And it's interesting that these names actually help us and bring us to Jesus. We'll look about that in a moment, because this evening we're thinking about these cities of refuge and how they're not only an important historical fact, but they're also a portrait of Christ. And they're also, I think, a picture of us, the church, the body of Christ, because we have refuge in Christ to give to all who need a saviour. In Numbers 35, we find God telling Moses, commanding Moses, to set up these six cities of refuge. Six of the towns you give to the Levites will be cities of refuge to which a person who has killed someone may flee. And chapters 20 and indeed 21 of Joshua are a discussion of these Levitical cities and the cities of refuge. And there's 48 Levitical cities, and six of these are these cities of refuge. You can see them on the map there. Three in the Transjordan area and three in the Promised Land. And their purpose was to bring fairness to the eye for an eye concept, which I'm sure you're aware of, this limited revenge which they had in concept which was initiated in Israel. A city of refuge was where somebody could flee to safety if they'd accidentally, and that word's actually quite important, if they'd accidentally killed another person, and they could be protected there from aggressive action of a near kinsman or of the person killed, so that they could protect someone from the eye to the eye if something in accident had happened. And there's no evidence actually that this system functioned later on during the period of the kings or the judges. That system, the courts and the judges, probably replaced it. Many of you, I'm sure, know the story of Corrie ten Boom, who wrote The Hiding Place. She was a Dutch watchmaker and later a writer, and she worked with her father and other family members to help Jews to escape the Nazi Holocaust in the Second World War. What she did was she hid them in her room, in her home. She had false walls built in some of her bedrooms and passages, little tunnels made through, so that if the Germans arrived to search the house, the Jews who were hiding in her home would be able to crawl through a really, really small hole and get behind a false wall, and hopefully, and indeed many were, safe there. And she saved many, many people, her and her family, from horrible things that were happening at that time. She was caught eventually and sent to Ravensbrück, one of the concentration camps. But in the hiding place, she explains how it was her faith that led her to offer her home as a place of refuge, and how many people were saved because of that. So that's a really important part of history, but also an example of faith in action, linking into how Jesus is our refuge to us. Because the passage that we've just heard, it isn't just history. I think it's a call for us to know Jesus as the place of refuge in our lives, and actually to show Jesus as the place of refuge to others, just as Corrie ten Boom did. And don't we have a fantastic opportunity in these next 4 weeks with John Lennox, with J. John, and the opportunity to invite people to hear about Jesus, that place of refuge, that person who can be a refuge for them. You see, this passage helps us understand this idea of a city of refuge being a place that we can find God. The Bible applies this idea, this concept of refuge in many occasions. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I'm sure you're familiar with that verse. In Hebrews 6, by two immutable things in which it's impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who had fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. And there's great similarity between the refuge in Scripture and the refuge that we can have in Jesus. Both Jesus and the city of refuge were in easy reach of the needy person. That's why they had six, three on one side of the river, three on the other, so that people could easily reach those cities. They're no use, are they, if people can't get to them? And Jesus is easy reach for us. Both Jesus and the city of refuge are open to all, not just to the Israelites. That was a very unusual concept for that time, but they were open for all. No one needs to fear that they would be turned away from their place of refuge. Look at verse 9 of the reading in Joshua. Any of the Israelites or any foreigner residing among them who killed someone accidentally could flee to these cities. It was a place for anyone. And both Jesus and the city of refuge are the only alternative for the one in need, because without that protection, the eye for the eye concept would have come in. They would have been destroyed. And both Jesus and the city of refuge provide protection within the boundaries. To go outside of the city could mean death. To go away from Jesus can mean the same. With both Jesus and the city of refuge, we have that full freedom that comes from the death of the high priest, Jesus the high priest. If you think back for a moment to that, to the game we played at the start, where we were thinking about what certain words meant, and biblical scholars have had a look at these cities, and I found this fascinating when I was looking at this passage, because each of the places, what these words, what these place names actually mean, lead us so clearly to Jesus. You have Kadesh, which signifies holy. Our refuge is the holy Jesus. You have Shechem, which is a shoulder, and the scripture speaks of the government being upon the shoulder of Jesus. Hebron is fellowship, and as believers, we're called into the fellowship of Christ, Jesus our Lord. You have one of the cities called Bezer, which is a fortification, and we think of Jesus, the stronghold to all who trust in him, the fortification to us who trust in him. Ramoth means high or exalted. For him hath God exalted to his own right hand. And Golan means joy. For in him all the saints are justified. All the saints find joy. All the saints shall find glory. Look at how the names of their cities link us to Jesus, as well as all the other things we've been thinking about. I'd just like to point out one of the crucial distinctions between these cities and Jesus as our refuge, because these cities were for the innocent, weren't they? But of course, Jesus is for everyone. The guilty can come to Jesus and find refuge as well. So these cities, they remind us of Jesus, our hiding place. They portray how Christ shelters us from death. It's a very marvellous provision for somebody who'd accidentally killed someone, the city of refuge was. Maybe he'd killed someone with that brother or sister who wanted vengeance, but they could escape to the city. The elders would investigate the case, and as long as it was accidental, he could stay there safely. But we can come to Jesus, our eternal refuge. If we could come to him and confess our sins, we know we have that eternal salvation, don't we? We know that no avenger can touch us because Jesus has already defeated death. These six cities are beautiful types of Christ, in whom we have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. So just briefly to expand this a little bit more, these cities of refuge were appointed by God. They weren't human ideas. And just as the gospel is not a human invention, these cities were God's plan, God's invention. And of course, Jesus appointed Christ to be the savior of our sinners, of us sinners, as part of his plan, the divine purpose, Christ the Lamb slain for us from the foundation of the world. The roads of the cities of refuge had to be kept clean so that people could find their way. Barriers, obstacles were not allowed to be left there. I love this point. If anyone left their plough or in the road or another obstacle so that the innocent person might stumble, they would have to come and move it. The roads had to be kept clear so that the person could find refuge when they need it. That's an incredible application, isn't it, to the life of the believer in Christ. We need to keep the road clear so that others aren't stumbling. We need to examine our hearts to make sure that we're not are putting stumbling blocks in the way of others. I read a story from the life of Billy Graham. When he was a young preacher, he had a meeting at a church in North Carolina. And when he got to the small town he was preaching at, he wanted to go and post a letter to his wife. But he didn't know where the post office was. And he stopped a little boy and asked him, young man, how do you get to the post office? And the boy said, sure, mister, just take the first left, take a right, and it will be on your left. And Billy Graham said, thank you for telling me how to get to the post office. If you come to my church service tonight, I'll tell you how to find heaven. And the boy thought about it for a moment and said, no, sir, I don't think I want to come to the church and hear you. You don't even know how to get to the post office. But what an example, Billy Graham, because he cleared the path for others, for so many people, and encouraged them to walk with him, to find Jesus, the place of refuge. Jesus, the fulfillment of the city of refuge. And of course, if that's the case, we, the church, the body of Christ, need to be a refuge for those in need. There's a song by a group called Casting Crowns. It's written about the church, and it's called If We Are the Body. I'm just going to play a short part of this, and there's some words on the screen. We are the body of Christ. We are the church, the body of Christ, his people together. So surely we need to be showing people the way to this city of refuge. It means the body of Christ. It means that Christ is living on earth through us today. It means Christ, who is meeting the needs, healing the sick, wants to do the same through us today. Jesus understood the fact that hurting people can't always understand the gospel in their hearts. So what do we as a church need to be saying to the hurting world today? I think we need to be showing these city of refuge, being these city of refuge for hurting and lost people, crying to them, crying that you can be clean, that we care for you, that you are not alone, that you are safe in Christ, that he is our God, he is your God, that he wants us in his family. We heard a bit from Romans 5 earlier as well. And just as we finish, have a look at some of these words, because I think they fit in so well with this idea of Jesus, our city of refuge, not just for us, but for our world as well. Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've been granted, we've gained access by faith into his grace, which we now stand. Since we've been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? The city of refuge in the book of Joshua is a really important historical fact, but it's also a portrait of Christ, and it's also a picture of the church, the body of Christ. We have a refuge in Christ to give to all who are in need of a saviour. Amen.